You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Hunter Biden, at that point, Hunter Biden literally could have had the corpses of children in his basement. I would not have cared, right? It's like there's nothing. First of all, it's Hunter Biden, right? It's not Joe Biden. But even if whatever scope of Joe Biden's corruption is, like if we could just go down that rabbit hole endlessly and understand that he's getting kickbacks from Hunter Biden's deals in Ukraine or wherever else, right, or China. It is infinitesimal compared to the corruption we know Trump is involved in. It's like a firefly to the sun.
Well, that's a pretty powerful statement. Do you really believe it? And who made that statement? Thanks for joining us again. This is August 19th, 2022. We're having a little trouble getting our live stream going. Hope to have it up before we finish the next 2 hours. Glad to have you on board, either listening or trying to see the Rumble.com live stream. But that was Sam Harris, a political philosopher, in an interview with The Hill, saying, I really could care less if Hunter Biden had kids' bodies in his basement. That would be less of a crime than what we've seen Trump do. What the hell is he talking about? He references the Trump University scandal, and we're going to get into that as well, because there was a settlement, $25 million plus, for students who feel they were duped. They did not get what they expected to out of Trump University. Aside from that, the rest of it continues to be allegations, innuendos, smears, slanders, and, of course, the FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago. Now, is that going to help charge up and activate Republicans, conservatives, independents to make sure they get out and vote in 2022 because they're angry that we see the FBI so openly, brazenly weaponized by the Democrats? And, of course, they are still fighting to keep the official affidavit under seal. The judge told them yesterday, you're going to have to reveal parts of it, redact some of it if you choose, then I'll look at it and I might redact more. You might get a page full of just black marks. That might be the final. And yet, the FBI continues to leak what it wants to leak to the New York Times and groups like that. Report one, they thought they had to go in. That's apparently in the affidavit. If they didn't go in, details and information might be destroyed. If they really believe that, why did Merrick Garland, the attorney general, wait as long as he did to actually give the order to carry out the search warrant? There's so many holes in their story. But anytime you start pinning down one, you've got another one popping up. The other issue is, are the Republicans doing everything they can to make sure they do win the House in this midterm election 2022 and maybe get control of the Senate? Are they doing everything, or are they failing? Are they shooting themselves in the foot? Are they letting victory slip from their grasp and now they're into the jaws of defeat? We're going to look at that because there are various polls that are out that are raising some big questions. And, of course, you're going to hear that many on the left say there's no way the Republicans can have a red wave. A week ago, it seemed more certain. Then after the FBI raid on Trump, it seemed even more certain. And now, again today, wishy-washy. Do we have any spine left in this country to see things through? Then you look at what's happening with the illegals coming across. My guest today, Simon Hankinson, border security expert, talking about how these sanctuary city mayors are so hypocritical. Yeah, we'll take illegals, but we don't want them. And then also, is CNN really and truly going to remake itself as a, quote, news organization? Or is this just a little pulling a rabbit out of a hat? Fake news. A lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The Republican playbook is to rig the system and make voting the most difficult thing possible. So you're asking a lot of these Democratic candidates to win in states with one hand tied behind their back, a little pepper spray thrown in their faces when you take into consideration all of these efforts that the Republicans are doing in these states to make voting more difficult and to target certain voters. We certainly see it everywhere, but it's especially happening here, even in my home state of Florida, which is where in an otherwise environment where things are looking really difficult now for the Republicans and have been in these last 2 weeks, it's still something you have to contend with. And you're right. You cannot take them for granted because what they're doing is trying to monkey it up.
Yeah, well, that's what the Republican playbook is. Deny folks the right to vote. Require that they have an ID, because then that will also deny them a right to vote. Can you go anywhere today, anywhere, by plane, and not have to show some kind of identification? And if it's being provided to you for free by each state, and every state does, they make it available for you, or if you have a driver's license, you already have an ID, there's nothing that anyone can point to that says it's denying minority voters. But that's part of the slogan the left continues to push over and over and over again. The state of Georgia has more liberal voting rules now than President Biden's home state. Polls are open longer. Everything is more available. Now, I don't hear any complaints about how the blue states are doing it and are how they are still trying to ramp up. Well, we need to have more mail-in, got to have mail-in. We're not in the midst of a COVID this time. That was a perfect storm between Biden and Trump when the COVID situation surfaced. A lot of folks are saying, well, we need to stay in, so we have to send in, we have to mail in more. And that gave the blue states and blue operatives a chance to grab bag whatever they could. Oh, Larry, you're claiming the vote was stolen, that it wasn't proper? Let me put it this way. I have no doubt there was fraud. How much fraud? Was it been enough? I cannot verify that. That continues to be a battle debate. But I want someone to show me a specific law in any state that denies a minority vote being cast, a Democrat vote being cast, an independent vote being cast, even a Republican vote being cast. Show me. You're not going to get it. You were listening then to a pollster, is the way he bills himself, but you can tell he's a very partisan pollster. His name is Fernand Amande, so he's appearing on MSNBC. He said the Republicans' playbook is to make it as difficult as it is, as it can be, for anyone to vote. In other words, do anything we can to keep them from actually having a chance to vote and put in who they want. You know, just yesterday I played you a soundbite of James Carville. I could pull up the soundbite, but I think I'll do it. Could I? I like doing James Carville and his accent as well as in Louisiana. I like it because he's talking about, he said, our party, we have an ability to irritate, the ability to come up with really stupid things like defund the police, the three worst words in the English language, maybe, get rid of Abraham Lincoln. He said, our people are kind of silly. They're just silly. He said, we're actually defined by overeducated, totally doofus coastal elites that are trying to write dictionaries or something unrelated to anybody's life, the woke culture wars. They're not dealing with what you're dealing with on a daily basis, inflation, groceries, gas. I don't care how much they tell you, hey, gas is down a little bit more. It won't be that way much longer. And even then, take it back to the last year, the last 6 months Trump was in office, it's still $2 higher than it was when he was in office. Because this administration, first thing it did was start saying, we're going to get away from fossil fuels, shut it all down. Shut down the Keystone Pipeline. Shut down all those refineries. Quit giving out and selling leased lands on federal property to oil and gas companies. Well, now they're beginning to realize we probably should open up some of those again. But the ultimate goal is to make you suffer. To make you suffer until you decide, okay, I'll do it. Give me the electric car. You have to be careful there. You have to be of a certain income to get that electric car tax credit. And then many of the current electric cars would not qualify because they're not totally assembled in the U.S. of A. Some in Canada. And even the Canadian premier the other day said after Biden signed the so-called Inflation Reduction Comedy Act, he said it's going to be good for Canada because they're pushing more for green energy and we'll be able to help supply those cars. Is it helping you? No. Is the woke culture helping you? Is the CRT teaching? Is shoving transsexual attitudes and permissiveness and encouragement in front of your children, even all the way down to K-school, is that helping you and your family or this country? Democrats, most sane Democrats, would agree with you that no, it's not doing a thing to help. But they've got to keep up the preface. They've got to keep up the charade that what we have going on with the Republicans is they're just trying to keep us from voting, and on top of that, they're going to continue to push radical ideas. Stacey Abrams is running for governor, as you know, in Georgia. She thinks she should have won the previous time. She cried out, false, I got cheated. The left had no problem endorsing her claims. Well, she's facing Governor Brian Kemp this time. And she says, the best way I think I can defeat Kemp is make sure everybody knows that he's been tied to Trump in the past. He's trying to get Trump's endorsement again. In other words, going after MAGA or conservative, that seems to be one of their best targets. Stacey Abrams.
Brian Kemp is a dangerous extremist who has tried to hide himself behind one good action. And he has distracted the rest of us, or certainly distracted most of America, from looking at his actual record. He is trying to play both moderate and MAGA, but he is just extreme. He has not rebuked Trump. He has not rebuked his bad behavior. He is simply hoping that no one pays attention. And that is not heroic. That is self-interested. That is hubristic. And that is wrong for the future of Georgia.
And let me see here. She said that's all wrong because he had an association with Trump and won't deny it. And she still has to admit, I got beat in the election. No one stole it from me. I got beat. There's a lot of concern about how this election is going to go, obviously. Various polls being taken on a continuous basis, and you have to really stay on top of them because there's so many coming at you. Again, it is a fire hose fully open. But what we're hearing and seeing already does not bode well if you listen to some of the responses, like from Senator McConnell. Senator Mitch McConnell pointing out yesterday, said, I think we'll certainly win the House. The Senate, I'm not so sure because it's a statewide race. And he said the quality of the candidates. Otherwise suggesting that Republicans don't really have good candidates in states where we need and should win, such as in Georgia. Herschel Walker being supported by Donald Trump. Walker's ex-wife in a campaign video against him saying, he held a gun to my head, threatened to blow my brains out. I can't tell you what's fact or fiction on the story. All I know is, again, more political material, which we're going to spend more time on the next hour as well. But Congressman Steve Scalise, Republican of Louisiana, had a response to Senator McConnell and the quality of candidates, especially the Senate, but more importantly, where the races should be going here at midterm.
I still am very bullish on where we are in the House, and we've got phenomenal candidates. I was just on the road again these last few days, was in Denver. We've got two opportunities to flip seats right outside of Denver, Colorado. We have a number of other candidates that I've been with the last few days. And, in the Senate, it's always been a much more uphill road. Even though they only need to flip one more seat to get the Senate, everybody's recognized that that was a much tougher path to get there than in the House. But both can happen if voters stay energized and if voters stay engaged and really stay angry about what the Democrats have done to the country and want to make a difference, want to make a change in direction. You're going to have an opportunity by voting Republican to put a real check and balance on Biden and slow down this socialist train that they're riding.
And that socialist train is picking up steam every time you turn around. And the issue you need to be worried about is if folks are going to turn out as we need them to make sure that the liberal agenda, the communist Marxist agenda, does not continue. You get control of the House again, you remove Nancy Pelosi. Ding dong, the witch is dead. I'm sorry, Nancy, I did use the word witch. You did know that. I want to make sure you understood that. But we have to get control of the House again. We have to have at least one more vote than they do in the Senate so we don't have another 50-50 tie. And I'm afraid, when I look at some of these surveys coming across, I keep seeing different groups that might certainly be helping out. The look at, depending on which one you go to, you can find some belief that it might work. For instance, there is a Democrat Latino-related poll. In fact, the pollster Amanda you were hearing earlier was saying, This shows that in this case, perhaps Republicans overreached
And Hispanic voters are saying to the Republican Party in the polling that we're seeing and others are conducting that they went too far, that they overreached. And even despite the fact that many Hispanic voters, yes, personally, Tiffany, when it comes to their personal perspective, may have a more pro-life perspective, that does not mean that they want to see the government making these decisions for other women and other families. And that is why you've seen that Hispanic vote for the Democrats at the national level stabilize and, if anything, increase back to 2018 levels, which is where that blue wave propelled Democrats to capture the Congress and have a counterpunch to the Trump administration in the White House. And that's the conditions we're starting to see now as we go into these final 2 months.
Yeah, keep in mind, we're that close to the November midterm elections. And he is claiming that the Latinos that say we're all about family, the very ones who echo Congresswoman Maya Flores, who won that special election in a Texas county that's been Democrat for 100 years, and two other Latino women are running for congressional races in adjoining areas. And they say we are family, hard workers, Catholics, anti-abortion. But he's suggesting that maybe they're already beginning to shift a little bit. The issues on the plate, of course, involve abortion, the economy, and certainly illegals. When we come back, I want you to hear something from Congressman Scalise. And not just listen to it, but take note of it. Act on it. And then later, my guest coming up talking about the hypocrisy of sanctuary city mayors. Also, a warning if you have an iPhone. All coming up. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Every single Democrat just voted for a bill that not only raises $730 billion in new taxes and new spending, which will increase inflation, but every single Democrat also voted, House and Senate, also voted to add those 87,000 new IRS agents, more than doubling the size of the agency. Even after in the House it was confirmed that they're going to be going after people making under $400,000 a year, which is a direct violation of President Biden's promise. Yet everybody knows that's who they're going after. They're going to be going after them to the tune of over $20 billion in new taxes just for lower income families. Mm-hmm. Plus, they have a higher energy tax. So if you think you're not paying enough for energy, the good news is the Democrats just voted to raise your energy taxes, too. So that's the path that we've been looking at in terms of why voters are turning against Democrats in droves. It's going to absolutely help us in those House races, but I think it's going to help in the Senate races too.
I certainly hope so. I hope the general public, that includes Democrats, independents, really pay attention that the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act does not reduce inflation. And even before the ink was dry, before it was even dry, they were basically admitting it doesn't really save that much. It's not really going to reduce inflation. Senator Manchin, who became the senator who swung over and then was followed by Senator Sinema, so it would be a 50-50 vote with VP Harris casting the tie to get it through, was outside the White House just minutes after the signing and says it won't really induce inflation that much. But they continue to call it that because they don't want to officially call it what it is, a green energy plan, all rebuilt under Build Back Better that failed, and now packaged and reshoved down your throat as an Inflation Reduction Act. Don't forget to add the word Comedy Act, in my opinion. The main priority is spending on green energy subsidies. Democrats continue to talk about it is the greatest climate change bill ever in history. That, again, should tell you. Then also we're looking at what's going to happen even beyond 2022, but also what could be in play here at the midterm, and that is for 2024. Liz Cheney took a severe beating in her primary the other night against her challenger in the primary, the one endorsed by Trump. In fact, out of 100 or so candidates Trump has endorsed in primaries, all but maybe 20 of them have won. So it still shows that his power and his strength exist, and it terrifies the Democrats that are so far woke and left. They don't want to see him come back. Now, you may not want Trump back in office. That's fine. We will get to that point. Cheney, do you want Liz Cheney to take his place? Do you think she could run as a Republican against Trump and win? Could she run as a Republican and not really win, but pull enough votes away from Trump that another candidate, hopefully a good candidate, would surface at the top? I was discussing with one of our listeners earlier today and pointing out he made the same thing I've said in the past, and that is, you remember Bill Clinton, how he got in office, really? It wasn't just that he defeated Bush. Ross Perot was in the election and pulled away several Bush votes. I know at the time my wife voted for Perot and told me, I said, well, you just killed my Bush vote. So, yeah, a lot of that happened. Cheney could do that. There's an NPR survey, NPR, that says 40%, actually said about 54% of all those surveyed believe we're being invaded by the illegals from the South. 70%+ of Republicans, I'd expect that. But at this same NPR survey, I cannot stress that enough, NPR survey found 40% of Democrats think we're being invaded. Should they not tell you that we're being invaded? And, of course, all these sanctuary city mayors and governors say, come on, come on. And then suddenly they show up at their doorstep. Oh, no. Well, we didn't put the welcome mat out like that. The hypocrisy continues. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Well, I got my first truck when I was 3. Drove 100,000 miles on my knees. Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before. I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back, and I can tell you that we do have our live stream resuming. We're having trouble in the beginning of today's program, but you can go to rumble.com, search engine one word, Larry Connors, USA. It'll take you to previous Rumble postings. You can punch live and join us in studio. My next guest is a senior research fellow in the Border Security and Immigration Center at the Heritage Foundation, Simon Hankinson. Glad to have you on board, Simon.
Nice to be with you, Larry.
Well, I was looking at a piece you wrote in the Daily Signal, but before I get to that, I want to go over a couple of things. First of all, this story stands out. The Democrat nominee for the U.S. House in Texas 15th Congressional District claiming there is no chaos at the southern border. Republicans are hyping that crisis just for political benefit. Fact or fiction?
Well, it sure seems like fiction to me. I mean, I've seen the pictures and the footage of hundreds of people crossing over the river, sometimes in dangerous spate. I've seen people lined up to get through a gate that was actually locked by the Texas National Guard and then reopened by the Border Patrol.
I'm glad you pointed that out. Let me re-stress that, folks. What he just said, the Texas National Guard, which Governor Abbott had deployed along the border to help, locked the gate so they couldn't come through, and Border Patrol shows up and unlocks it. Obviously, that's the out of Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, saying, just let them in. But go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm just looking at the figures today. I have to look at them every single day because they just keep going up. But since the Biden administration took over, there have been 3.4 million encounters at the southern border.
Wow.
That's a million more than under the Trump administration. We had 1.7 million last year, and we beat that this year with 2 million.
Yes.
Now, out of those, how many have gotten into the country without inspection at all? Estimates are somewhere just south of a million. And then how many have just been let in with a vague promise to show up one day and claim for asylum? It's definitely in the hundreds of thousands, probably over a million.
And then how many of those that got across that we don't know about that are, we've already caught the number might be close to 60 or higher that are clearly identified as on no-fly list and possible terrorists? How many got away that we have in our country now?
Well, you know, these are always estimates. As I understand it, there's something like 60 that are on the terror watch list, which means, you know, at the very least, they're people we want to ask some hard questions to. But then let's just think about it. If you've got a population, let's say you got a town of a million people, in that population of a million, you're going to have some criminals. You're going to have some people who have records who you want to keep an eye on. So if you're letting in an equivalent number of people, and by and large, these are mostly single adults, a lot of single men of working age, you know, not all of them are going to have clean records. That's just a matter of statistics.
Now, I want to go one other thing. Before you join us, I was reporting on an NPR survey that showed about 57% perhaps of those surveyed believe we're being invaded. 75%+ Republicans believe we're being invaded. But the key point for me was 40% of Democrats surveyed think, yeah, we're being invaded.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so long you can pull the wool over people's eyes. I mean, it's starting to hit communities that are a long way from the border. The people on the border have been drowning for 18 months now. They've been crying for help from Washington. They're not getting any. Now with the busing of migrants to D.C. and to Washington, D.C. and New York, those mayors are starting to freak out. But, you know, this is something that's affecting towns all over the country. When you have people who arrive who are not part of your tax base and have no legal ability to work, they need services. They need medical care. They need schooling. They need housing. And that burden is falling on local as well as federal taxpayers.
And that's exactly brings us to your article that you wrote for the Daily Signal about Governor Abbott sending busloads up to NYC and also previously D.C. And you pointed out that Monday morning, another busload arrived at the New York City Port Authority terminal, and that 80% of those getting off, as you pointed out, were single men. And basically they said those that got on the buses, there were some that said they didn't want to go to New York City, they wanted to go to D.C. We've heard reports that when folks get along the route, they think, you know, I really want to stop in Tennessee. I don't want to go all the way up there. I got people here I want to contact, maybe trying to take over the buses. I'm worried about the safety of those on the bus that are simply volunteering to go somewhere, and then the safety of the driver. Are we going to have to start putting armed guards on there? The bottom line is, all we have to do is shut the border and say no more, no mas.
Well, you know, you made me laugh a little bit when you say let's put armed guards on the buses. I mean, it'd be a little simpler to put those armed guards on the border.
Yes,
but,
sir.
Hey, wait a minute. We actually have those, don't we?
Yeah.
We've got plenty of armed guards.
We're
going to
have 87,000 IRS agents we can put down there.
Well, maybe, yeah, eventually they start paying taxes. But, no, we've got ICE. We have Border Patrol. We've got Customs and Border Protection. We have plenty of well-trained and experienced officers ready to do their jobs, but they're not being allowed to. You've got something like 70% of the Border Patrol pulled off the line, according to my colleague here at Heritage, Tom Homan, who are just doing social work. You know, they're processing people in, taking their fake name and their maybe their fingerprints if we're lucky, and then giving them a bus ticket or a plane ticket to go wherever they want to go. That's not their job. Their job is to enforce the law. That's Mayorkas' job, and that's Biden's job. Until the law changes by an act of Congress, they're stuck with the one we have, and they should be doing their job.
And yet the sanctuary city mayors who said, oh, we'll be a sanctuary for you, now they are delivering busloads to their doorstep. No. And I've yet to see Mayor Bowser in D.C. or New York City Mayor Adams, Eric Adams, I should say, or any of the Hollywood elites open up their homes or their garages for shelter for some of these people. They talk about being humane and that they're willing to help and everything, but suddenly it's in their face and they realize what the folks along the border really are facing is chaos.
Absolutely. Everybody's generous with other people's money. That was an old Margaret Thatcher quote.
Yeah.
She said the problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money.
Right.
The mayor of New York, he's proud of the fact that they have a sanctuary city and they have what they call a right to shelter. He says, come one, come all. Well, they've just rented out the Milford Plaza, old hotel in Times Square, $400 a night. They're going to put 600 people in it. How long is that going to last? They've been, so far, I think they've had about 8,000 people arrive on buses. So that's not going to take them more than a week or so.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, sir.
No, I was just going to say they expect the federal taxpayer to pay for it, but I don't see any reason the New York taxpayer or the federal taxpayer should pay for it.
Well, to that extent, I'd pointed out the other day what you talked about, how they're going to start housing. In fact, I think the number was going to be something like eventually they're looking at 6,000 hotel rooms, but they've got residents that are no longer able to stay in their apartments that might be, I don't know, maybe less than 1,000 square feet that are costing almost $4,000. Folks can't make the payment. They're now homeless or going somewhere else, and yet illegals are coming in the area, and they're just simply going to give them a nice hotel room, fresh sheets every day, I guess. And the New Yorkers, even that deep blue New Yorker, has to be looking around saying, what the hell's wrong with this picture?
Well, exactly. And, we're robbing Peter to pay Paul here. You've got FEMA, which is the Federal Emergency Management Agency, that's there to help American citizens, taxpayers, who kind of paid their share over the years. If they have a flood or a hurricane or, a massive wildfire, that's what that money is for. And it's being used to house people, to take care of people who are illegally in the country, who've never contributed a dime in their lives. That just, apart from anything else, doesn't seem fair. And as you say, there's competition. There's people who are homeless here in D.C., and there's people who are homeless in New York City. And some of those people are going to be out in the cold as a result.
Yeah, because they've got to make room for the illegals that should not even be coming across the border. The hypocrisy in the last 30 seconds has been consistent. And do you see any weakening of their hypocrisy or just doubling down?
I just see doubling down. I think it's going to get worse before anybody does anything about it at the federal level.
All right. That's a sad note to end on, but I appreciate your time, sir.
It's my pleasure.
We'll do it again. Simon Hankinson with the Heritage Foundation. His article is in the Daily Signal called The Hypocrisy of Sanctuary City Mayors. You might want to look it up and read it in its entirety. The Hypocrisy of Sanctuary City Mayors. Coming up, there's a warning if you have an iPhone from Apple about something that could happen to your phone and something that needs to be done about it. And then in Japan, they want you to drink more sake, or at least more beer. We'll explain coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
And if you don't love me now, you will never love me again.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Listen up. If you have an iPhone 6 or later models, iPad 5th generation or later, all iPad Pro models, the iPad Air 2, Mac computers running Mac OS Monterey, iPod Touch 7th generation model, blah, go on and on and on. Apple releasing an emergency security update, disclosing that all of those products that I just listed, and probably others, are vulnerable to certain things that could happen. There's a software update, which the company said should safeguard the product, so they're saying you need to make sure you get that update. They claim the potential for an application to execute arbitrary code with kernel privileges, which refers to basically giving someone the right to operate your computer, your phone, from remote. The second issue, according to Apple, was in WebKit. That's a layout engine designed to allow web browsers to go through pages, I guess. And listen, this is way above my pay grade. I don't really understand a lot of this. Yes, I have an iPhone, or rather I have a cell phone, and I have computer knowledge, but I also have, you know, guys that help me do a lot of this stuff when it comes to postings on Facebook and everything else. I do put up a lot of it myself because I write it and I want it up, but then my webmaster Dan oversees most of it for me. I'm just telling you this because they are worried, according to Apple, that a hacker could get full administrative access to the device and execute any code as if they are you, as if they have your iPhone, their computer, in front of them. Things are also able to go into any app you've got on there. You got a banking app on. You got some private information on there. You've got some legal matters on there, on either the phone or otherwise. That's what they're suggesting. Do you remember, some of you, when you had just party line telephones, remember that? That if it was one ring, it was for your house. If it was two rings, it was for someone else. Three rings, so forth and so on. But anybody could pick up and listen in, even if it wasn't for them. They didn't change anything necessarily, but that's the way so-called party lines operated at that time. Looks like we're going back in that direction, only these are folks that you do not want to have access to your, not just your conversation, but whatever you have stored on your phone or computer. Well, take note that this story was called to my attention by my boots on the ground reporter in Chicago, Andrew, which suggests he was looking for a reason to up beverage intake, I guess. I'm asking Andrew, I'm not condemning you. Sent me this from the Daily Wire. I would have overlooked it, I have to admit. Japan's government wants people to drink more alcohol. Actually, it says young people, so that excludes you, Andrew. Maybe me. I think you're considerably older. Japan's national tax agency, responsible for collecting taxes, is starting a strategy contest in hopes to entice more people to drink alcohol. It's called Sake Viva, asking young people to submit ideas for getting the younger generation to spend more money on booze. There's a dwindling liquor business, especially after the COVID pandemic shutdowns. I would have thought it would have accelerated. And it says, after the pandemic shutdown. So I guess during that, they were doing a lot of sake. Give you a number difference here. They raked in 2021 about $13 billion U.S. dollars from national taxes. That was up a little bit from 2020, but so far they've been decreasing. So they're trying to get those ages 20 to 39. Oh, is that considered young, 20 to 39? I'm definitely in that category. And they want contestants to focus on developing a plan related to Japanese alcoholic beverages, sake, beer, whiskey, wine, so forth. I've had some, obviously, sake. Somebody held a gun on my head and made me drink. I'm only kidding. It was all right. And I've had some Japanese beer that was fairly good. But they're trying to get some kind of contest together so folks will drink more. Now, when did you ever hear a government say, we want you to drink more? Well, if they're relying upon the tax money that comes in, yeah, there's a good excuse for that. And this is happening against a prior plan they had. Just in the last 10 years, Japan had adopted a plan to fight societal and health problems related to consuming alcohol. So they told them, we need to back off of you for folks drinking. And now we're trying to tell the younger generation, drink as much as you want, as often as you can. Oh, I'm sure they're going to suggest moderation. But moderation apparently hasn't been collecting the taxes they want. I'll toast. Can I say that? I'll lift a toast to that one. Never mind. Coming up in the next hour, the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. Is that going to spark more folks to go to the polls because of how Trump is being targeted, or because they are convinced Trump is a criminal?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.